to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liel, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from beyond the reach of the Ministry of Propaganda, I bid you a sincere hello, and I welcome you to another session of free speech where we will discuss things that really matter. And today, as I speak, I must report that the health of America has reached code blue. Her plight exceeds the loud cry of an air raid siren. The tsunami is approaching. The tornadoes of judgment are about to touch down. My friends, the great tempest of howling winds are looming, and the head of Lady Liberty is about to hit the ground. Obamacare was recently passed, and to many opinionated figureheads of the sanitized media, it was just another law coming to life. But my friends, it was more than that. Much, much more. And we're going to talk about this very thing today. And I must also let you know that today I come to you with a message that I obtained while I was in prayer. It will affect you and your family, so please pay attention to what I have to say today. America is a sinking ship. And as I speak, I must say that I feel very somber. Why am I somber? Because, how do I say this? Funerals are traditionally somber and sad. And it was several months ago that I shared the warning that Lamentations is coming to this land. Well, my friends, with regret, I must report that those days of dread have begun to arrive upon the shores of this once great land. Now, I know that I talk about America a lot, but this is one of my duties, to keep you abreast and up to date. And the latest update is, well, America is sinking. And in times past, she was entitled to the inscription, "Oh, beautiful," because she was beautiful, not just in geographic appearance, but in beauty of righteous fortitude, in beauty of responsible, hard-working citizens, in beauty of family values found in her communities. She was beautiful because the light from above made her a candle on a hill. She was a beacon of hope and beautiful because she valued life and gave birth to dreams. But sadly, America, the land endowed as the keeper of God's heritage, is now a sinking vessel that, for reasons of illustration, I must now call the USS Necropolis. And most of the ship's passengers are unaware of their impending doom. Why? Because the passengers of this ship believe that they are on an exciting journey. And they don't know that there are enemies lurking out at sea waiting to attack them. A few years ago, several warning shots were fired over the bow of the ship. And it was interesting that all of the passengers saw it happen. But did these wayfaring travelers become alarmed when they saw it? Were they fearful? Perhaps a few were, at first. But their concerns were short-lived because the ship's leader, Captain Barry Sotero, explained to the passengers using very crafty sentences. And he told them that the shot over the bow was a part of the show to make their journey more exciting. He told them those shimmering lights were for your enjoyment. But he did not tell them that the ship had pyro masters who were really responsible for the shots over the bow, and that they were working with others. So when Captain Barry said that those lights were for your enjoyment, many passengers applauded. And they said, "Isn't the captain wonderful?" But little did the passengers know that the pyro masters, Ben Bernanke and Timmy Boy Geithner, had pirate friends following the ship from afar. Little did the passengers know that those pirates were planning to sabotage the ship and to rob them blind. And little did the passengers know that even Captain Barry, in his wrinkle-free, heavily starched white captain suit, was also in on it. So on the ship went on its journey. And over the course of a year or two, the pirates shot bullets into the side of the cruise liner and the vessel received several punctures. And when the passengers brought it to the crew's attention, Captain Barry always had an answer. When they said, "Captain, my cabin has some holes in the walls," he responded, "No worries. We did that so that you could have better ventilation and smell the salty air of the sea, and it will help you breathe. And as an added benefit, it will moisturize your skin." To which the passengers marveled, "Isn't Captain a dream? He cares so much about us," and they thanked him. But the ship was still out of the grasp of the pirates, so they decided to use heavier artillery. Captain's orders, of course, so they used cannons. And a few cannonballs hit the side of the ship and punched some nice round holes on the exterior. And again, when asked about it, the captain continued to have a clever answer. "Don't worry, folks. We're remodeling. And we're doing this because we love you, and we want your journey to be enjoyable." And over the course of time, the ship continued to be attacked. And finally, it experienced sabotage. Her rudder was ripped off, and steel cables and nets were thrown into the ship's propellers. The ship's velocity slowed down and was no longer moving. But did the passengers notice? Were they concerned? Well, again, not after Captain Barry spoke to them. "Folks, we have slowed down for your benefit so that you can better enjoy the view and enjoy your expensive and wonderful cruise here on the USS Necropolis." And after all that, folks, you may wonder, did the passengers get angry? No. Many were too occupied with drinks, with pleasure, and with song. And they said to each other, "How thoughtful of the captain to slow down for us. He must really care about us." And now, my friends, here we are in the present. Just days ago, the USS Necropolis has sustained a direct hit. The hull of the ship has received a huge laceration. The force of the impact has rocked Necropolis to and fro. But still, half of the voyagers continue in their pleasantries. But the other half is beginning to wonder. And as I speak to you today, my friends, I must say that Necropolis is the soon-coming description and moniker of the land of America. And Necropolis is what awaits the land that is now terminal, the land which was once mighty. And for those of you that may wonder what Necropolis means, here it is, folks. It means the city of the dead. And why would I dare say that America is this city? Simple. Because as I look around, this is what I see. As I examine the recent legislative events of Capitol Hill, I see a nation in a state of disintegration. I see the American Constitution in a state of decomposition. I see an empire that is fading. I see the Union's liberty being decimated, crushed, and soon to be exterminated. I see a people who believe that they are free, walking around with no idea that the noose of captivity awaits them. I see a people who are blind and have no clue that their patriotic mascot, Lady Liberty, is ill, that she has gangrene, that she is about to dissolve into the air of a dark and misty night. As I sought God over the past few days, this condition came to mind. Necropolis, the city of the dead, is what America is becoming. My friends, in this message, I must share what the Spirit of God has told me to share with you all. And please know that the words that I am going to share will not be easy. There is coming to this land a great darkness. Not a darkness of physical lack of light, but a great darkness of coming oppression. And with great pain and sadness, I have to say that this darkness is going to result in great anguish and withering of souls. This great darkness will result in many tears and cries. Please hear me, folks. I have said before that Lamentations is coming to America. Well, my friends, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that it is already beginning to arrive. And to everyone that is listening, please know this. This is going to be allowed to happen by Almighty God. Therefore, it will not be stopped. Why? I have explained many times already in previous messages why. But the bottom line is because America is ripe for judgment. The coming darkness is His will, and it is going to be used to awaken many people who up to this point have been playing games with God. And I'm going to explain this later on in this message. The website is watchmanscry.com. And you can go there for many audios and articles. There's a lot of other messages there, folks, that you can listen to that will explain to you what is going on right now over this land. Because now, folks, this world is going for broke. They have pulled out all of the stops, and mighty things are in store for the future. Also, I have a quick announcement. I want to say thank you for those of you that helped with my daughter's surgery. She's doing fine. We received enough to help her for her surgery. So I appreciate every one of you that were generous with your gifts. So God bless all of you that gave for her, and also God bless all of you that prayed for her. For those of you that were not aware, she had dental surgery. She has a condition where many of her teeth have fractured and broken, but we're getting that taken care of. Praise God. And also, my friends, I want to say that we do appreciate all of your gifts of support for this ministry to continue as God leads you. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com for more resources and also to contact us. There's an email link there. If you have any prayer requests, please email them to us. We'll be happy to pray for you. Now, let's move on. Over the last several days, I have really been watching with strong concern the recent events on Capitol Hill. Obamacare is the big story. And it is amazing that the news treats it as just another piece of legislation. In fact, they almost treat it like a benign piece of legislation, with no intensity, with no alarms, with no lasting concerns. This legislation is not, I repeat, it is not just another law for the books. Obamacare is the beginning of liberty's decapitation. This thing is the most diabolical and deceptive piece of gangrene towards liberty that America has ever faced. And I must also say, folks, that every one of you that are listening needs to be concerned about this. The people walking the streets around you need to be concerned. The people at your job, at the grocery store, need to be concerned. Because this is going to affect every one of our futures. Now, I'm going to share with you some pieces of history. So please take a lot of notes. Get a notepad. Get your Bibles. Please write these things down. I'm going to give you some information to prove to you why we are in such dire circumstances right now. And I really, really believe, folks, that this message needs to be heard by every pastor in America. It needs to be heard by every Christian that goes to church. It needs to be heard by everyone who values their future. So please share it with your friends. Share it with your loved ones. Put it on websites. Why? Because America's Christians need to know what is about to happen. And I am going to tell you what is about to happen. I'm going to tell you how to get ready spiritually. Folks, the Holy Spirit revealed these things to me for your benefit, so please take this message to heart. Now to begin, I need to share with you the actual political terminology of what we're facing right now. And then I'm going to tell you what the New World Order has planned for America. Those of you that might find politics boring, please try to follow along because I believe that you're going to be very interested in what I'm about to say. The kings of this world are using their poster boy marionette, Darth Obama, to carry out the plan. Now, there are several steps to this plan, but they are in the process of enacting a very vital foundational element to their plan, and it is called Obamacare. But first, to explain it, I want to look at the word etymology or the philosophy of their plan. Most of you have heard of the word fascism, and this political idea will be one of the end-time New World Order beasts' political philosophies. It will not be the only one, but it seems to be the one that they are going to conquer America with. Know this first and foremost. Fascism is arriving on America's shores. Please get familiar with that word. Now, I'm going to explain what fascism is. And if you happen to support Obama, before you email me and get mad at me, do yourself a favor. Listen to this entire message. I have overwhelming evidence that this is America's present course. So, what is fascism? By the way, fascism is spelled F-A-S-C-H-I-S-M. Fascism. And that word comes from the Latin word fasces. Now, the word fasces means to group together for more power. And in the ancient Roman Empire, a fasces was a bundle of rods or sticks that were bound together with leather straps. It was probably 4 or 5 feet long, and toward the top of the bundle, it had an axe head protruding from it. The head of an axe would stick out. And it was a symbolic creation to represent power. So a fasces is a bundle. This means that it is not just one. It is a bundle made up of many. And this also means that it is not an individual thing. Translation. This is what it means, folks. Fascism is a collective of many people, so individual thinkers have no place or contribution in fascist ideology. And for those of you that are trying to picture it, would you like to see what it looks like? Well, all you have to do is look at the back of any American dime from the year 1916 to 1945. The fascist bundle is on the back of that dime. It is also on the back of most quarters. The American Eagle is holding on to one. Now, if you do not happen to have a coin, you can also look at the ends of the armrests on Lincoln's Memorial. The part of the armrests that are facing out have a fascist bundle engraved onto his chair. You can Google it and you'll see the picture of it. Now, if you can't find a picture of Lincoln's Memorial photo, just look at the wall behind the rostrum in the House of Representatives. Behind the podium, on each side of the American flag that's hanging, there is a fascist bundle right on the wall of our Congress. And you can see that bundle when there's a State of the Union address. Some of you probably can remember seeing it now. So you can also Google that as well. Why are those things on our money? Why is this fascist bundle on Lincoln's Memorial? And why is it found in Congress? Because during the course of this nation's existence, surprisingly, there have always been rogue elements in our leadership with ideologies that most Americans did not know about. But that's another sermon. Today, I am talking about what is approaching our door, and it is fascism. By the way, CNN's Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer are not going to warn you about this. Most pulpits will not mention it, but I will. Why? Because this is, I repeat, fascism is coming to America, folks. And those of you with insight would probably say that it has already arrived, to which I would respond, you're right. It has started slow, and it has been arriving even with previous administrations, so it is not all Obama that's doing it. Mr. W. had his hand in it as well. But it seems to be happening much, much quicker in the last year. In fact, it seems to be going at breakneck speed, folks. It seems that they have nothing that is going to stop them now. They are going for this thing, and they want to see it come to fruition very, very soon. Fascism is in full swing. Obama is ramming through law after law very quickly. Why? I suspect that they have a timeline that they have to have this thing up and ready by. And I'm going to cover that as well. But first, for those of you that do not know, I want to explain to you what it means. Now, fascism, what is it? Those of you that are familiar with history know that this was the political ideology of Italy and Germany during World War II. And back then at the time, the leader of Italy was Mussolini. And Germany's leader was, of course, Hitler. So what is it? Folks, please learn this information because we're going to be staring down its barrel very soon. But a simple definition would be that fascism is socialism, masquerading as capitalism. Did you get that, folks? Fascism is socialism that is camouflaged with a capitalistic veneer. And also, fascism is a village mentality. Under fascism, every citizen is an obligated organic contributor to the state's well-being. In fact, Mussolini would often say, everything in the state, nothing outside the state, and nothing against the state. Fascism does not care about individual rights and freedom because it believes that sacrifice is required from all the people of the state. In other words, it is totalitarianism, which means that the state has control over every aspect of life. There's no room for speaking out. There's no freedom of speech. The state has the right to force its will on the people and to use force if necessary. Another thing that fascism does is it uses social Darwinism, meaning the survival of the fittest. And this is where it gets very sad and very evil, folks. This translates into the theme that the weak are inconvenient and expensive to take care of. Therefore, they must be done away with. How do they do this? Well, we saw what Hitler did. Genocide and euthanasia is used. Hitler murdered millions of people who he saw less than fit. Fascism is a very, very evil thing, folks. Some of you may argue and say, Nathan, America does not euthanize. What are you talking about? Well, this is my response. Woe to America. It's coming, folks. By the way, what do you think abortion is? 50 million babies already killed. And for those of you that might not remember, Carrie Schiavo, she was allowed to starve to death and it took her 17 days to do it here in America. Now, fascism is very, very deceptive. It's very crafty. It's very sneaky. The killing and the extermination of people is not usually out in the open. It's done through secret means. So in order to euthanize, fascism lies to the people, or they can even deny them medical care, or they can ration medical care under the excuse of it costs too much, it's too expensive, the state can't afford it. And in order for fascism to really have a grasp over a society and a nation to be able to do that, the government would need to be in control of the medical system and of doctors and of nurses. They would need to be able to control spending in medical matters. So folks, can you say Obamacare? And here's the big question. Does the Obama plan have rationing in it? Well, listen to this clip from a New York Times economic columnist, Paul Krugman. And listen to what he says, folks. He admits that rationing will save money in the Obama plan. And he is saying it in the past tense. So you tell me if it exists. Listen here.
It's amazing, actually, if you think about people on the right, they're simultaneously screaming they're going to send all the old people to death panels. And it's not going to save any money. That's a contradictory point of view.
Death panels would save money.
What?
I mean,
well,
theoretically.
The advisory panel, which has the ability to make more or less binding judgments on saying this particular expensive treatment actually doesn't do any good medically, and so we're not going to pay for it, that is actually going to save quite a lot of money. We don't know how much yet. The CBO gives it very little credit, but most of the healthcare economists I talk to think that it's going to be a really major cost saving.
Well, there you go, folks. And I know that the people that are for this plan would say that our nation would never do that. Some people would say, it's not in the bill. And if you ask them, how do you know it's not in the bill? They would say, well, because the news and the newspapers told us it wasn't. Really? Well, did you know, folks, that the bill is not all the way written? Did you know that there are a lot of clauses that are open to interpretation? There are a lot of areas of the bill that can be added to and amended? In fact, Nancy Pelosi said that very thing. She said, pass the bill and then we'll tell you what's in it. You know why she said that? Because not everything was in it at the time. Now, what kind of sense does that make? You pass a bill first, you pass a law first, and then you add all the convenient clauses in there? Folks, the way this thing was passed went totally against the Constitution. It went totally against protocol. And while this thing happened, most Americans sat on their hands and they didn't seem to care about it. Those of you that may celebrate and have blind faith about this bill have no idea what is coming. Nathan, do you know what's coming? Unfortunately, yes, I do. I've seen it, and it's not pretty. And it's so bad that for 3 days, this message stirred inside of me. It burned within me, folks. When I went to ask God about it, it hurt in travail. My friends, we are living in very, very perilous times right now. This is not good. What just happened? Now, as I mentioned some of these things, folks, please pay attention and make note if some of these things look very familiar to what we're watching right now. Now, as a comparison to Marxism or communism, communism has totalitarianism, just like fascism. In other words, communism is ruled by tyrants and fascism is ruled by tyrants. But here's where the difference is. Communism has totalitarian control of all of the country's economy through direct state operation. Communism doesn't have a lot of different corporations that are privately owned. Now, fascism, on the other hand, controls indirectly through domination of corporations. In other words, fascism allows corporations to exist in their country, but they make stringent guidelines that the companies must follow. It's still totalitarian control, and it's still state control, but fascism leaves the appearance of private enterprise and it leaves the appearance of an open free market, but it is really not so. Because fascism still controls the companies, it controls the markets, it controls the monetary system. The CEOs of companies no longer decide their own fate. Fascism controls the corporations through state-appointed ministries, through departments, through offices, with fancy titles. Now, here in America, that very thing is happening. We are seeing the arrival and the creation of many new state agencies. And the leaders of these agencies are called czars. Have you noticed that, folks? We have the banking czar. the housing czar, the automobile czar, and we're going to now have the medical czar. Think about this, folks. It controls the financial industry of commerce, agriculture, energy, utilities, transportation, manufacturing, many different industries. They control and decide everything. And that's how Hitler did it. He had control of every one of their industries. And for employment, fascism governments need the population to rely on them. So a fascist government will usually incorporate perpetual and massive public works projects. And also, folks, the military is a friend of fascist governments because fascist governments need a strong military, and military activity seems to always be happening. Now, how are all of these things paid for in a fascist government? Simple. Taxes, taxes, taxes. And also an increase of taxes. And by the way, have I said taxes yet, folks? That's what they do. They raise taxes. Now, since I mentioned that fascists are crafty and deceptive, many of them will argue and say, we're not raising taxes. So they change the semantics of their taxes and they rename them. And they call them levies or fines or penalties or citations. And why is that? Because the bottom line summary of fascism is that it is about tyranny and it is about control. The other thing about it is that it always begins innocent looking. It always makes a lot of promises. And as it gains more and more control over a nation, the noose of that nation's freedom tightens more and more. And then, finally, it's too late. Now, during Hitler's era, when it first started, when Hitler first got into power in 1933, it looked very innocent. It had many golden promises. And when Hitler got into power, he began quickly swallowing up small corporations, and he also consolidated them into a few giant ones. Now, let me ask you this, folks. Have you noticed the same thing with the banking industry? Many banks are getting swallowed up, and they're going by the wayside, and we're getting just a few bigger and bigger ones that are getting larger and larger, which, by the way, have state control over them. As Hitler continued to take over all the small corporations, he eventually had to keep growing the new departments to oversee all the different categories. And by the time it was out in the open that Hitler was a tyrant, he had over 200 government departmental organizations that were regulating every nook and cranny of Germany's society. Here's the interesting part. Hitler did not do it all at once. He made a lot of promises to people that were very discouraged with their economic situation. So he made promises that had to do with their money, unemployment. So one by one, he got control of every industry. Does it sound familiar, folks? Here in the United States of America, we are witnessing the very same thing. The United States government is taking over banking, the mortgage industry. It took over Freddie Mac. It took over Fannie Mae. It took over the insurance giant AIG. It took over the automobile industry, and they did it with the bailout. They did it by offering them a loan, but by doing that, they ended up with ownership. And now, just recently, we have another huge part of the economy that has been hijacked by fascism, healthcare. The Obamacare plan is going to control every hospital in America. It's going to give rules to every doctor, every nurse, every health insurance company, drug companies, to medical device companies, and now it is going to give guidelines and requirements to every U.S. citizen and every employer. So I ask you, folks, what's left? Well, not much. We have the energy and utilities that are still left, but have no fear. Cap and trade will take care of that one. What else do we have? The newspaper media industry? Well, guess what, folks? There's already talk of a newspaper bailout for all of those newspapers that are suffering. In fact, write this down if you want to check it out. Senator Ben Cardin, C-A-R-D-I-N, he's a Democrat. He introduced Senate Bill 673, which is called the Newspaper Revitalization Act. And I can tell you this, folks, at the rate we're going, it won't be much longer that the newspapers get their bailout as well. As a side note, we are watching that every company or industry that accepts bailout funds does so at the expense of their future sovereignty. Have you noticed that? The government gets control of them after that. So when newspapers get bailed out, you can kiss freedom of the press goodbye, folks. Not that it is not already sanitized, but let me ask you, does any of this make sense yet? Do you see it? Are you a little bit concerned about it? America is now a fascist country that is in its infancy. Not maybe, not in 5 years or 10 years. Folks, it's happening right now. So for those of you that might be saying, well, it's not so bad. Please know this, my friends. After fascism finally gets up and running and has control over all the categorical industries of a nation, then it switches gears into the next phase of its takeover. Fascism can only function by using totalitarian measures and control. Translation. In order for the present direction of fascist America to be successful, tyranny has to exist. A strong arm of military might has to exist. And a loss of freedom has to exist. Conclusion. My friends, please make note of this. Today, we are witnessing the death of liberty. And I also wonder, my friends, how long these very words that I am speaking are going to be allowed to be on the internet. How long will I be allowed to openly talk to you about the Lord Jesus and the Lord God Almighty? I don't know. While I have the time and the opportunity and the privilege, I'm going to do it. So folks, please pay attention. I want you to all know and hear this because you need to know in advance what is going to happen. On February the 2nd, 2009, over a year ago, I had a dream, and I placed it on my website. Most of you have heard it, called Liberty Will Be Decapitated. And I posted it on my website way back then. I saw the Statue of Liberty in a dream standing in a small hill, and the Statue of Liberty's head fell off. And I asked God, I said, God, what does that dream mean? And God revealed to me through the Holy Spirit as I was seeking Him. He said, legislation is going to be made on Capitol Hill. That's why you saw the statue on a hill. And when that legislation is passed, it's going to erase the freedom of America. He also said that a bad event is going to come. So there are other things that are attached to that prophetic dream. We're not finished with it. You can go read it. But the reason I'm bringing it up, folks, is because that prophetic warning from God is now starting to come to fruition. Obamacare is the beginning of decapitation of liberty. But please be warned, folks, there is also more to come. We're not done with that. I also want to bring your attention to another prophetic dream that I had. On October the 29th, 2008, this is also on my website, I had another dream. Now, in that dream, I was in my van driving along a road with my wife, and we began to cross a two-lane bridge. The bridge was about a mile long, and as we entered the bridge, instantly there appeared on my lane of traffic about 100 or 200 policemen dressed in riot gear. They were stationed about maybe 10, 20 feet apart, and each one of these policemen had a shovel in their hand, and they were pouring asphalt over their section of the bridge. So they were all building the bridge. As I was driving across the bridge, my wife screamed to me that I was speeding, and I had to get down to the appropriate speed of 19 miles an hour. But I was not able to do it because I was just going too fast. When I got to the end of the bridge, one of the police officers flagged me and told me to stop at a temporary shack that had been set up on the other side of the bridge. And she said, go there and pay your fine for speeding. So I went up to the shack, got out of the car, and I told the lady I was speeding. And of course, she already knew it. So she told me that my fine for speeding was going to be 21. The words that she said was not $21. She just said 21. And then the dream was over. Now, that dream has a lot of elements to it. It has policemen building a road, which signifies a police state that is coming. But the thing that I want to talk about right here is 19 and 21. So I researched the number 1921 and the actual year 1921. And I went to Wikipedia and I put in 1921 there. And if you want to, you can do it yourself, folks. Here's what I found. In 1921, the communist parties for Italy, Portugal, Spain, Czechoslovakia, and China all began in that year of 1921. Also in 1921, Adolf Hitler became the Führer of the Nazi Party. Also in 1921, Benito Mussolini founded the National Fascist Party in Italy. So all of these things started in 1921. Communism and fascism, most notably. So I believe that what the Holy Spirit was telling me in that prophetic dream was that the police state was under construction when I had that dream, which was, by the way, in October of 08, a year and a half ago. And what the dream meant was when this road is complete, America is going to have a mixture of fascism, socialism, and communism. That's an odd mixture that is soon going to suppress you and your family. Now, folks, I must be very clear. God is going to allow this because America is morally sick, backslid, and lukewarm. Now, to the patriotic ones that may be mad and angry, I don't say this to anger you. Because I don't want it to happen either, my friend. And if you only knew the time that I have spent on my knees in pain knowing that this was coming, you would understand that I don't say this with joy. It is with much heartache and with much pain knowing what is coming. Now, what is it going to look like when it comes to America, folks? I just mentioned it's going to take over all of the industry, but as far as personally, how is that going to affect us? Well, I don't want to recreate my previous sermon on Lamentations, but when you have a chance, just go read it. In Lamentations chapter 1, it talks about slavery, mistreatment. It talks about captivity within the borders. And folks, within the borders of North America, in our future, I really believe that we're going to see a new Iron Curtain of North America. Captivity is coming to this nation. Lamentations talks about having no rest from persecutors, meaning no freedom. And you know, folks, again, the really amazing part is that today's news is just reporting on the surface issue of Obamacare. They're not looking at the big picture. If you try to Google fascist America or the fascist takeover of America, you would not get a lot of stories about it. There are a few here and there, but it's not overwhelming. Why? Because in order for them to say that fascism is coming to America would imply that Obama was guilty of it. It would imply that Obama was a fascist. A lot of the news is already in great fear. They live under threats, I'm sure, by the Ministry of Propaganda. And also the other reason might be that there's a great blindness over them. So what's coming? Well, history's going to repeat itself. Hitler started very slow, and then he increased velocity. And Mr. Obama is laying the asphalt foundation. I saw the asphalt being poured in my dream, folks. And before our very eyes, here's the interesting part. In my dream, I was able to drive right through all of the police officers like they were phantoms. So I wonder if most of the people today don't see them because they're blind. They can't see what's happening. But folks, even if the world is blind, and even if those that are around you are blind, and even if some pastors are blind and people that go to churches are blind, we are not blind. You're not blind, my friends, because you're listening to this audio because you want some answers. So that's a good thing, that our eyes are open and that our ears are open to the warning and the voice and the message of God. And the other reason that we're not blind is because we have a secret weapon, the Holy Spirit. And He reveals things to us through prophetic gifts. In fact, in the book of John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but whatever He hears, He will speak." Now watch this, folks. "And He will tell you things to come." You see that, folks? It's right there, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit will tell us things to come. And then it goes on in verse 9, "And He will glorify Me." So my friends, I share these things that are coming for only one reason, so that Jesus Christ, Messiah, can be glorified and honored, and that so you can be warned, and that so you can repent and get to know Him better. To God be the glory. Fascism is coming, my friends. That means loss of freedom is coming. More intrusive laws are coming. Now, I want to talk about Obamacare real quick. As I mentioned, one by one, the American fascist police state is making a foundation of intrusive laws. And Obamacare is going to be a foundation for many other intrusions. For example, in the Obamacare plan, there is cryptic verbiage talking about implants. It talks about having implants. And I expect to see the Real ID Act back on the table with biometric signatures. I expect to see some kind of national health card that they're going to force on everybody. And there's always an excuse to do it. There's always a bad guy that receives the blame. I've heard some talk that the Real ID is coming so that people will not hire illegals. So in order to not hire an illegal worker, everyone has to have a Real ID card with a biometric signature. Now, what is it going to look like? I don't know. But in the past, the Nazis did the same thing. They would say, "Your papers, please." You remember that, folks? So that's coming. Whether it's through Verichip, whether it's through a tattoo, infrared, through DNA, RFID, I don't know. But I expect them to do this at the rate they're going. Also, here's another thing that I expect. The youth brigade is coming. What's that? Well, during the time of Adolf Hitler, he had all the youth of Germany in a mandatory program where all the youth would regularly participate and be indoctrinated with nationalistic views. And what it served as was a giant surveillance tattletale squad for Hitler. The interesting thing about the youth brigade is that Obama talked about wanting a youth corps. When he campaigned, he talked about it several times. In fact, when he was in Colorado Springs, he mentioned that he wanted a youth corps that was as strong as the military and as well funded and as powerful as the military. Listen to this audio clip of Obama talking about it. Listen to this, folks.
"We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded."
Now, can there be any doubt that he wants the same thing, folks? He campaigned for it in his first few months of office. He has already passed several versions of this thing. H.R. 1388, called the Give Act, has already passed. Now, before H.R. 1388 passed, and that was several months ago, there was verbiage in there that talked about mandatory service and participation by every youth in America. It would be mandatory. But then some Republicans complained about it, so that verbiage was taken out. However, it was added to a new bill, but right now it's in committee. It's called H.R. 1444, so you can look that one up as well. Now, Mr. Obama's White House Chief of Staff also talked about the youth corps being mandatory. So listen to this clip of him talking about it.
Congressman Rahm Emanuel has been picked by Barack Obama to be his White House Chief of Staff.
And now you have a book with the ambitious title of The Plan. The word universal comes through a lot. Universal will scare some people. They will think the government program. The idea of universal citizen service. Mm-hmm. You have to participate.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense. That universal sense of service, somewhere between ages of 18 and 25, will give Americans, once again, a sense of what they are to be American and their contribution to a country and a common experience. And you look at World War II, now that was a draft, but this is not a draft, it's a universal service. It is not an accident that we started our big march towards civil rights and expanding post-World War II because the country came through an experience together.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months. Because I think anytime somebody serves their country in some capacity, we're going to be stronger for it.
Well, folks, are there any questions? And now we have Obamacare, and inside of Obamacare, surprisingly, this is how crafty they are, folks. In Obamacare, they stuck in a clause about college loans being taken over by the federal government. Now, in the past, college loans were serviced by private banks, and there's a government agency called Sallie Mae that would guarantee these loans through the banks. Well, Obama got rid of Sallie Mae. In Obamacare, Sallie Mae is gone. There's no more private loans for college students anymore. And it's going to start, I believe, in July of 2010, this year, where college loans will start being given directly by the federal government. Now, watch this, folks, and picture this. Why did it have to be in Obamacare in the first place? That's my first question. But the second question is, why did it have to have a takeover of the federal government? This is what I'm suspicious of. You're going to have kids in this economy going to school, getting college loans, who will not be able to find a job when they graduate. They're going to be in dire straits. So this is coming, folks. This is what I see happening. The U.S. government is going to say, well, we loaned you the money, but we have a great idea for you to work off your loan. All you have to do is sign up for 1 or 2 years of this neat program that we have. We'll give you a nice uniform. It will teach you community responsibility. It will teach you to like your government and to be a contributor. And then we'll forgive your college loan. Folks, that's what I am suspicious of. That is why this thing is part of Obamacare. The takeover of Sallie Mae is a clandestine, underhanded way to take over all of the colleges, the programs that are taught, to take over our children's college education with bribery and coercion because the kids will have no other way to pay off their bills. But that's what I see coming, folks. Now, here's another interesting tidbit. Several programs ago, I talked about the New World Order is also a religion and how the New Age movement is following the writings of Alice Bailey and some other writers who talk about the New World, the New Age of Aquarius that is coming. And the New World Order also believes in this philosophy. Well, this writer, Alice Bailey, had in her writings back in the 1930s, she talked about the New World Order needing world servers, which was basically citizens who were participating in community service. And I won't go into detail on that, but it was basically the same thing. Children brainwashed with nationalistic ideals to make them no longer individuals and to turn them into robots. Well, that's what's happening right now, folks. Hitler used to say that if he had control over the youth, he would be able to control the country and the future of the country. Folks, we are under such a great deception right now. When the federal government has control of college loans, they will call the shots. Fascism does this. Now, as I said, Obamacare was the worst piece of gangrene legislation I've ever seen. It's unconstitutional, mandatory participation. For those of you that might say, well, that's good, everyone should participate so that they don't have medical care on the back of others. Well, let me ask you this, if you might be thinking that. Doesn't that bother you, that the government would force every citizen to participate? It is deception, folks. And by the way, it goes against the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. Now, I have a message to share from God, but I'm going to briefly give you some of the bullet points of how evil Obamacare is. Number one, it's going to fund abortions. The abortion funding is in there. So everyone that is forced to pay is also going to have money contributed toward abortions. Now, some might say, well, Stu Pak had Obama sign that executive order that said that Obamacare would not be used for abortions. Folks, give me a break. Executive orders do not take precedence over acts of Congress that are signed by the president. That was just window dressing. That thing's going to be shelved and done away with. That was just to get it passed so that that congressman would support it. So it does fund abortions. Also, another thing is it does have rationing in it. The verbiage is built in for rationing. What does that mean if there's rationing? That means that grandma will be denied her surgery that will save her life. That means that the elderly are going to be told, we're sorry, you don't qualify. Already, it says that Medicare is going to have $500 billion taken out of it and moved over into another portion of the budget. Well, if $500 billion is taken out of Medicare, that means denial of service, folks, because the money won't be there to fund some of the needed health care. Also in the verbiage is that there will be penalties to doctors that send patients to specialists. Doctors will not be allowed to do that. Again, that's called rationing. They lie and say it's not there. They lie and say it's not real. And then after it passes, they say, oh well, what are you going to do about it? Which is the same thing that Obama said. He said, we passed it. What are you going to do about it? Bring it on. Too bad. Obama is already acting like a dictator, folks. Now, who's exempt from this Obamacare? Nobody, unless you're a part of Congress. Oh, and if you're Amish, you might be exempt. But other than that, everybody has a mandatory requirement to participate. Also, the IRS has access to your records and to your bank account, which is an illegal search. That goes against the Constitution. Oh, too bad. It's there already. And if a person happens to not want to participate, if he says, forget you, I'm not doing it. If a citizen says, I don't think so, I'm not going to do it. Well, guess what happens, folks? There will be a huge tax penalty on them. Now, they call it a fine or a levy, but let's be honest. It's a tax, but that's what they do. They lie, just like the Nazis did. So the IRS, in order to do this, is going to hire 16 to 17,000 new agents to spy and snoop on everyone. Hello, folks. Fascism is taking over America. This is admitted socialism. It's a redistribution of wealth. They denied and said that it wasn't. They said it's only to help you, but that's what it is. It's a redistribution of everybody's wealth. In fact, listen to this congressman admit that it was. Listen to this, folks.
This is also an income shift. It's a shift, it's a leveling to help lower income, middle income Americans. Too often, too much of late, the last couple, 3 years, the maldistribution of income in America has gone up way too much. The wealthy are getting way, way too wealthy, and the middle-income class is left behind. Wages have not kept up with the increased income of the highest-income Americans. This legislation will have the effect of addressing that maldistribution of income in America, because health care is now a right for all Americans, and because health care is now affordable for all Americans.
There you go. Now, that part right there is communism, making everybody an even playing field. So as I said, according to the prophetic dream that I had, we're going to have communism and fascism and socialism all at once in America. And that's what we're witnessing right now. Before our very eyes, folks, things are changing at breakneck speed. Now, my friends, I have been mentioning for the last few minutes how bad things are going to get. And I also mentioned how destructive this new law is going to be to America. Now, I know that sounds very gloomy, and it is. It's not good news. But this is the season we live in. We cannot ignore what's happening right now. To try to deny it is not going to make it go away. To try to deny it is not going to strengthen you. Those people that are in denial are not doing themselves a favor, so we need to talk about it. I need to share these things with you. So, for the remaining minutes of this program, I'm going to tell you why God's allowing it. And I'm also going to tell you how you can prepare for it, how you can be equipped for it, how you can better strengthen yourselves and understand what you need to do. So let's talk about that. As I already mentioned, the Holy Spirit was very clear. Tell them great darkness is coming to the land. You might wonder, why would God let darkness come? It's not fair. I'm a good person. I'm a good Christian. Well, folks, as I said before, there are many, many, in fact, it's overwhelming right now. Many of those who consider themselves a child of God have an earthly focus. Too many of God's people have an earthly focus. The things of earth are too tempting to them. Many people are struggling right now, and they can't seem to take their eyes off of these carnal stumbling blocks. And here's the solution. This is what God is going to do. He loves His children so very, very much that He's going to do something to help this situation. He's going to turn down the lights, and it's going to get dark. It's going to get very dark. And when it gets dark, that shiny thing that may be tempting will no longer be in focus. If someone is tempted to another person, they're not going to be able to see him anymore because it's dark. When the lights are turned off, there's only one thing that we want. Think about it, folks. When the lights are off, all we want is the light. Now, imagine trying to hike along a cliff without light. What would happen? Well, those without light would fall off of the cliff eventually. They would fall off their path. Now, my friends, please hear me when I say this. This coming darkness is going to be through oppression. It's going to happen through oppression. It's going to happen through the oppression of government policy. It's going to happen through the oppression of lost income. And it's going to be through oppression of unexpected events. What's the remedy in this? Well, it's easy. It's simple. Get yourself a light. So I ask this question, folks. Who is the light? Well, when a light goes out in the room of a child, what does the child do? They call out for their daddy. And when God turns out the light, what does He desire? He wants us to call out to Him. Now, for those of you that may have the influence of the Greasy Grace candy cane gospel and say, God doesn't do that, Nathan. Oh, really? Well, please turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 45 and let me show you something. Go ahead, folks, if you have your Bible. Isaiah 45. I'm going to read you a verse. Are you there? Verse 6. Here it is, folks. Isaiah 45:6. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. This is God talking. And look what He says. I am the Lord and there is no other. No other, folks. This includes Krishna, Buddha, and any other New Age fake God. There is no other God besides the Lord God Almighty. Verse 7. I form the light and, watch this, folks, I create darkness. I make peace. And I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that God is like Zeus and He is mean up there in heaven? And He just likes to whack people? No. This passage of Scripture means that God is sovereign. And if someone is in rebellion and disobedient, or if a nation of people are in rebellion, God can allow misfortune to happen to them. It's His choice because He's God. Nathan, God would not do that. I still don't agree with you. Oh, really, my friend? Well, let me ask you this. Are you only saying that because in your eyes, you think God is not being nice to do something like that? Therefore, you're deciding for a sovereign God how He should carry out His will? Let me show you another verse, if that might be you. Look at verse 9, Isaiah 45:9. Look what it says right there. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? My friends, God can do what God wants to do. God is not the wimpy God that has been displayed in most American churches today. God is sovereign. God is holy. God is righteous. And He has spelled out very clearly in His Word what He expects from us, what He expects from leaders of nations, from kings, and from His children. And whenever these ones who are His go astray, God also spells out what He will do. He sends judgment. And He doesn't need our permission to do it. But here's what He does do. He always warns because He loves us. And that's what you're hearing right now, a warning. So, as I was saying, when I was praying a few days ago, the Holy Spirit said, tell them that darkness is coming and tell them why. And I've been telling you why. My friends, God loves you very much, but how many of you really allow the things of the earth to distract you? Well, let me explain the several reasons why God's going to let this happen, because there are several reasons. Now, please know this, folks. God is sovereign, and he's omniscient, and he knows everything. He's aware that with so many different people, there's different needs out there. So I'm going to explain several of the reasons that darkness is coming. Now, number one, the first reason that it's going to get dark in the land is, well, it's found in Psalms 107. And when I was praying, God also led me to this scripture to share with you. So please turn to Psalms 107. Are you there? Psalms 107, verse 10. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the word of God. Now, right there, folks, it says that people are bound, they're afflicted, they're in darkness, because they're rebellious. Against what? Against the Word. What is that? The Bible. What is that? The Scriptures. They rebel against the Scriptures. And it goes on. And they despised the counsel of the Most High. So they didn't like the will of God. They didn't like knowing the will of God. They wanted to go their own way. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord thy God with all your soul, your heart, your mind, and all of your strength. Well, apparently these people want their own counsel. Or they listen to the counsel of other false prophets. Verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. So finally, God brought them down. He allowed darkness to be around him. He brought them down. And look what they finally did, folks. Verse 13, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. So while they were pompous and confident, and while they knew everything, while they were self-sufficient, while they relied on their own deliverance, they didn't call out on God. They resisted his word. They resisted his counsel. But finally, after he brought them down, they cried out to him. They wouldn't have cried out to him otherwise, folks. And that is the story of humanity. That is the story of human nature and carnality. Humans by nature will not cry out to God unless they're in trouble. And God understands this. Verse 14, and he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and then he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. So right there, folks, that is the goodness of God that we just read. God is a deliverer. That's his goodness. But included in that goodness, we must also be willing to accept that allowing people to be in darkness and in chains and in captivity and in pain is the goodness of God, because it helps people to come around and realize what they really are. God allows dark events to humble the children of men. And in spite of the fraudulent, easygoing, apathetic version of the gospel that's out there, people are rebellious by nature. And most Christians do not understand what being humble before God and each other really means. Too many of God's children are full of themselves. They're full of temptation. They're full of lust for each other. And they're full of the culture of the world. And they are destitute and empty of the Word of God. And they are dehydrated of the Spirit of God. And they are strangers from talking to God. That's why God said through the Holy Spirit, when I was praying, tell them it's going to get dark. And when the lights go down, my friends, many people are going to trip and fall down. When the lights go out, many people are going to be very busy taking little baby steps, hoping they don't stumble. You know, folks, it's really amazing that the silly things of the earth stop looking cool when the lights are off. You know that? Pride is ineffective in the dark. Imagine a pompous person stuck up, displaying their looks, or their rich clothes, or their bling. And then turn the lights off. Let the lights go out on them. And then add to that trying to hike a canyon wall with drop-offs and critters waiting to eat their carcasses. You know what, folks? In that condition, pride, fancy clothes, and looking pretty kind of goes out the window, doesn't it? That's what I'm talking about here. God knows what he's doing. If you're still in Psalms 107, look at verse 4. Look what it says there. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. And then, verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. So again, they were desolate. They didn't know where to go. They were hungry, thirsty. And I would add, they were hungry and thirsty for the Word of God. They were in famine for the Word of God. They were dehydrated for the Word of God. And then they cried out to God, and God helped them. He knows what he's doing, folks. And this is what happened to the prodigal son. It took him to get to the point of feeding pigs before... Well, go ahead and turn there. If you have your Bibles, Luke 15. Turn there real quick, folks. Look what happened to the prodigal son. Because I'm showing you a part of God that most pastors refuse to talk about. Because they only want God to be the Santa Claus, the genie in the bottle. But look what it says in Luke 15:17. talking about the prodigal son. But when he came to himself, he realized and he returned home. Folks, it had to take him hitting bottom before he came to himself. And in the same way, for most people, they have to hit bottom before they wake up. And this is one reason why this is coming. But I also must say this, folks. Sadly, this season that is coming, it's also going to have an opposite effect for some people. What I mean by that is, unfortunately, some hardened souls, they never repent in spite of the circumstances. Therefore, a note to all of you that are listening, please do not be a hardened soul. Why? Because if you deny the chance for repentance in this life, my friend, let me tell you something. There is no purgatory. There's no reincarnation second chance. My friend, you get this life to meet Jesus. And if you do not meet Jesus in this life, you're going to burn in hell's fire for eternity. So my lost friend, stop messing around. Stop goofing off. Stop breaking your mama's heart. Stop breaking God's heart. Now, as I just mentioned, it's going to get dark to bring back the wanderer that is away from God. It's a divine plan, and it's going to work for many people. But that's not the only reason it's going to get dark, my friends. Here's the other reason. Now, some of you that are listening right now already love the Lord very, very much. You're striving to be a remnant follower. You're hungry for Him. Perhaps you're not exactly at that place that you desire, but you're trying. Well, I have a message for you as well. When I was seeking God, He also wanted this said for you, if you're in that group. The lights are also going to go down so that His children, His people, can learn to use their tools and to grow their faith. Now, what tools am I talking about? It's simple, my friends. In real life, in this physical world, when the lights go down, what do we use to see at night to walk around our house? What do we use when you're walking outside at night? Well, of course, we use a flashlight. We use a light. And God has supplied us with a light in several ways. Psalms 119:105, that beautiful verse that many of you know about. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My friends, in the coming darkness, you will need to see your way. Why do you need to see your way? Well, it's very simple. Number one, so you don't trip. But number two, so that you don't leave your ordered path of God's will and walk off your path. Or, worse yet, walk off of a cliff or step into a briar patch. Ouch! And, of course, we don't want that to happen. So this means that I want to encourage every one of you to please know that the light of God's Word is a lamp for our feet. So I want to encourage you, if you have been in the Word already and you're making that a goal in your life, if you're striving to be in the Word, please continue doing that, my friends. And if you might happen to not be doing it, I want to challenge you to start getting into His Word and start becoming full of the Word. Get the Scriptures in your heart. Get them memorized. Folks, please be warned. In the coming season of darkness, there is also going to be imposters, false prophets, false voices. They're out there. And without the Word, you might find yourself listening to the wrong voice. And you know, folks, I believe that if more of God's people actually studied the Word and had it hidden in their heart, most prosperity churches would be in foreclosure. Actually, there are a few already that are in foreclosure because the giving is down. But aside from that, people would quit going to them because they would realize that they're not preaching the true Word of God. My friends, the Word is what we need. The Word is what you need. The Word washes our soul. The Word will renew your mind, and it will replace the filth that's out there. My friend, get full of the Word, and you will have a lamp in the darkness. Now, there's also another light source besides the Word, and I'm going to show you something that possibly you haven't seen before. Maybe you have seen it, but this is the other source of light that you need to have to make it through the dark time. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 25. Are you there, folks? Matthew 25, starting with verse 1. Most of you know the story. It is the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise ones and the 5 foolish ones. But it says in Matthew 25, verse 1, let me just read this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the Foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Now most of you know the story, the five virgins. Now we've all heard that the wise ones had their lamps full of oil, and they were waiting to use the oil. And when the time came, verse 7 says, when it was time, they trimmed their lamps, and they went out to meet the groom. And the lesson that we hear in this parable is, you have to have your lamps full of oil. And we've also heard sermons of, what is the oil? There's different sermons, but for the most part, most preachers have said that the oil is the Holy Spirit. Some would even say that the oil means obedience and faithfulness, being prepared and being ready. But folks, I really believe that the oil means being full of the Holy Spirit and full of God. Because olive oil has always represented the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. Now, in order to be full of the Holy Spirit, that only happens one way. It happens by praying and seeking Him with diligence. Because being full of God has a cost and a price. It takes dedication and time to be full of God and full of the Holy Spirit. It takes having a hunger for God to be full of the Holy Spirit. It takes approaching Him in the throne room to be full of the Holy Spirit. And to do these things means that you cannot be practicing deeds of darkness and sin, because praying to God and being full of Him will keep you from sinning. But at the same time, sinning will keep you from praying to God. So every one of us needs oil in our lamps. Why? Well, you see, we've all heard that we need oil in the lamps. But here's the question. Why does this parable have a lamp? Have you ever thought about that? Is it because when the groom comes, they can have their lamp full of oil and run to the groom and say, "Look, my groom, my lamp's full of oil. Are you proud of me?" And he'll look at their lamp and say, "Yes, it's full of oil. I'm proud of you. Come with me. You're my bride." You know, a lot of people interpret this whole parable that way, that it's just to show quantity of oil when we get to meet the bridegroom. But folks, I believe that the story goes deeper than that. Here's why. Because look at verse 6. Look what it says. When did the event happen? Verse 6, "And at midnight the cry was heard." So when was the announcement? At midnight, my friends. Think about that. At midnight, it is dark. It's nighttime. There's no light. So if we are the wise virgins, that means that we have to walk through what? When the midnight cry gets announced? We need to walk through darkness. Look at verse 7, folks. "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." That means they lit the lamps. That means that they had fire in their lamps. Why? Because it was dark. They needed the lamps so that they could see. Do you see what this means, folks? Do you see it? At the time of the end, before Jesus returns, according to this parable, it's going to be dark. And in order to see in the dark, we need to have our lamps full of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus so that we can see. So that means we need Jesus inside of us to help us see. We need the Holy Spirit inside of us. We need Him dwelling in us so that we can see. Not be blinded, but see. See through the darkness. To see through the confusion that will be around us. To see through the chaos. To be able to see through the upsetting images that may be around us. To be able to see through the calamity. And to be able to see through the evil. To them that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. That happens over and over, my friends. Those that have the eyes to see are not the blind ones. This parable right here is talking about having our eyes open, being full of Jesus so that we are not misled when the darkness comes. You see, folks, if you want to endure in the end times, you don't really have a choice. Either you are going to be full of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to have light in your eyes, so that you can understand the days that are evil, the days that you are dwelling in, so that you can understand what's going on around you. Or you will not be full of the Holy Spirit and not be full of Jesus, and therefore your eyes would be blinded and shut. And as a result, you will stumble and fall by the wayside. Do you see it, folks? God is going to let it get spiritually dark. And only those with the lamp of God, only those full of God, only those full of the Word, the lamp for our feet, will be able to see through that darkness. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night is coming. Let me repeat that. The night is coming. One more time, folks. The night is coming when no man can work. I was seeking God a few days ago, and the Holy Spirit said, it's going to get dark. And here's the question, folks. How long is the darkness going to last? I don't know. In that parable we just read in Matthew 25, it said, at midnight a cry was heard. And the cry said, the bride is coming, go out to meet him. So from the time the cry was made at midnight, which is in the dark, until the time that the groom actually returned, the bride was walking through darkness. It doesn't say that the cry was made, the groom is here, go see him. No, it said, the groom is coming, go meet him. That means that from the midnight cry in darkness, folks, there is a journey through darkness to meet the groom. And in that journey, my friends, we need to have the light of God so that we can see. As I was seeking God, the Holy Spirit gave me a word, and I want to read it right now. I wrote it down. The Spirit of God would say that great darkness is coming upon the land. Let the people know that in this darkness, many will return to their right mind. Many will return to the God of their fathers, and in this darkness, their scales will fall off. Through heartache and pain, many will find their way back to God. The answer is in the Scriptures. The Word can light the path. Trim your lamps. Fill them with oil to light your way. Without your lamps, you will not see. Without your lamps, you will not understand. But with your lamps, you will see what the others cannot see. You will understand what the others cannot understand. Your lamp can show you where the voice of God comes from. There are treasures that can only be found through the darkness. Great travail gives birth to great joy. Great pain brings healing. And being lonely makes one hunger for the friendship of God. Being thirsty makes one desire his drink. In the darkness, seek his drink. In the darkness, seek his presence. In the darkness, seek his peace. In the darkness, seek his light. In the darkness, you can find your victory. So know this, that darkness does not mean that you are forsaken. Darkness is a gift so that you can call out to him. The darkness silences the other noise so that you can hear his voice. Amen and amen.
Rushing wind blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me. I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where you want to go. Plant me by your living waters. Plant me deep so I can grow. Jesus, you're the one who set my spirit free. Use me, Lord, glory. Sanctify my life for you. Daily change me to your image. Help me bear good fruit. Every day you're drawing closer. Trials come to test my faith. But when all is said and done, Lord, you know it's been worth the wait. Come and breathe your breath upon me, for I